Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And Pastor Brian wraps up this week with a message from Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 19, entitled First Fruits. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 22 through 24, and that's where we'll close our study today. The Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew chapter 6. There's such a powerful section of the Word. And again, I do want to reiterate as we come to this portion of Scripture that I'm not speaking in regards to the church having need. That's what Paul says in Philippians. He gave an offering. He said, thank you. He says, but I didn't need it. I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. But he says, I also want the credit to abound to your account. I want fruit to abound to your account as you give unto the Lord's ministry. And in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, verses 22 through 24, as we read through these verses, you're first going to say, how does this all relate to each other? They seem to be, you know, two different messages. But start at verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he first talks about the eye, talks about light and darkness. Then he talks about you can't serve two masters. Then he talks about God and mammon, and mammon is basically riches and wealth. So why did he bring up mammon in this aspect of light and darkness and the eye being full of light or being full of darkness? It all relates to one another. We have to remember the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, and there's certain cultural significances in here that we need to understand. I want to try and unravel some of that. Look at verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, he's using analogy of the eye representing the heart or the nature, the character of that person. And he says, if your eye is good. It's interesting, this word good can be translated singleness of purpose, unmixed. It doesn't have all these desires that are spreading your life out. There's a single focus. And what would that single focus be? To honor the Lord, to serve Him supremely, that He would be Lord and Master of your life. He says, if that's what's happening in your heart, the rest of your life will be full of lights. If your heart is to honor God supremely, you don't have to worry about money. You don't have to worry about opportunities that come up because you're going to judge things spiritually. You're not just going to jump, oh, here's an opportunity. You say, hey, does this affect my ministry that God's called me to? Does this affect my family? Am I going to be able to do this and minister to my family effectively? So you'll have all this light. You'll have understanding. Hey, this is a distraction. This is a temptation trying to lead me astray from the work of God's kingdom. So if your eye has singleness of purpose and not a greedy, covetous heart, and it's to be dedicated to the Lord, you're going to see life pretty clear. You're going to see temptation pretty clear. But on the other hand, he says, but if your eye is bad or evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, what does it mean, a bad eye or an evil eye? Now, we have that saying today, don't we? That's an evil eye. That means someone kind of looked at you and they gave you the evil eye. But the evil eye is different in our culture and society than it was 2,000 years ago. They didn't have freeways that are bumper to bumper where you give people the evil eye. It meant something different. I could show you that very clearly from the book of Proverbs, because of Proverbs, there's three places which speak about the good eye and the evil eye, and this will all, hopefully, clear things up. So turn with me back to Proverbs 22. And then you'll see how it relates to not being able to serve two masters. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Verse 9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. And I use the New King James Version. It has a little one, number one by the word generous. So that means you look in the margin and it says literally a good eye. So the generous eye is the good eye, someone that's free from the love of money, someone that's not covetous, not greedy, not self-seeking, Their singleness of purpose is to honor the Lord, and they have a generous heart. They're willing to give. That's the good eye. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. See, he's not holding on to it. He's someone that's willing to give. He realizes, hey, whatever I have is from the Lord, and I want to share with others. That's the good eye. That's a person whose life will be filled with light, because they're not captivated by greed. They're not captivated by covetousness. And if you have a generous spirit, I mean, you are free from so much temptation. It's a love of money that is the root of all sorts of evil. You're totally free from those things. You're not governed by greed. You, as Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 6. It says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. And once again, I have a number one by the word miser. I look in the margin, and it says, literally, an evil eye. So it was a Jewish term, which meant someone that was stingy. We translate it a miser. That's someone who had the evil eye that Jesus was talking about. Someone that, again, is covetous, loves money, very selfish. And he says, keep away from the person who has the evil eye. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 22. Then we'll go back to Matthew 6 and finish up. Proverbs 28. And verse 22 says, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. So the person that has the evil eye, and there it's translated evil eye, is one that's desirous of wealth and he pursues after it. And it says he doesn't realize, but poverty is going to come upon him. And that'll come in one form or another. In the book of Haggai, when the people says, the Lord spoke to the prophet. He says, hey, I want you to build my temple, but you guys are too busy. You're too busy building your own life. So he says to them, he says, what you've done is you've went out, you've earned wages, but you've taken those wages, you put it in a bag, and that bag has a hole in it. And God says, I'm the one that has blown your money away. So you've worked and worked and worked, but you haven't gotten anywhere. And then what happens in our day and age, Uncle Sam, you work overtime, Uncle Sam gets it and says, thank you very much. And you see very little of that. And you really don't get ahead, do you? Have you ever really gotten ahead by working, 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 working? Are you ahead now because of all the work that you've done? Now, sometimes that poverty comes upon where the money's just blown away, but others, people arrive at their success, but they've lost. They've lost their family. They've lost their dignity. They've lost their integrity because they've compromised. They've cheated. They've lost their ministry. They've gained financially, but they lost. That's a great loss. Godliness with contentment, that's where great gain is. So if you have a heart that says, I got to be rich, I got to be powerful, I got to be wealthy, you're going to end up losing. You need to have a good eye, generous spirit, singleness of purpose to serve the Lord, not an evil eye that's greedy and selfish and wants money and power. Because go back to Matthew 6. If that's where your life is at, here's what the scripture says. I think you'll understand it a little better. The last part of verse 23, if therefore the light is in you as darkness, how great is that darkness? See the dangers that are there if you are trying to serve the Lord and trying to serve money. There's great darkness that's there. You have to live like the world to pursue and gain after these things, and you won't have a heart for God, and you've lost. And greater darkness will come upon your life, and greater deception. And that's why I say these things not for the benefit of the church, as if we're in some need, but for your benefit, for my benefit, to make sure that we're giving the Lord, we're giving unto the Lord, because that's one of the ways that God allows or rips the clutches of greed out of our heart when we give to him. Because we're holding on to it, that's greedy. And the way those clutches are broken off and that bondage for more and more and more is to give. That's one of the ways the Lord frees us. And gives us that generous heart, that singleness of purpose. And we begin to realize, this is where my real treasure is God's kingdom, his purposes and his plans. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And if your treasure is making money, that's where your heart's going to be. And your life's going to be filled with great darkness. And the Lord gives you even a greater threat here in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches or mammon. See what happens? If your heart is loyal to God, no problem. These things come up. Hey, I don't want to get involved in those things. My heart is to serve the Lord. If your heart's filled with greed, wanting more and more, it comes up. Now you got to make a decision. Oh, church is getting in the way again. My ministry is taking up too much of my time. I could be making so much money over here, but you know, it's the ministry and the demands that God places upon my life. And he's asking me for loyalty. I can't give him that loyalty, or I'll have to sacrifice over here. And Jesus Christ steps back and says, I'm not going to fight the tug of war game. Either give me your heart or don't. You decide. You make the choice. But you can't do both. You cannot try and serve the world and serve God at the same time. Because there's a demand in this place. And Jesus Christ, the word for master here means someone who's absolutely sovereign. You can't have a sovereign God say, this is what I want you to do. And you say, well, let me think about it. I have other desires over here. The Lord doesn't take that type of service. So again, he lays the demands down. Then he steps back and says, give me that type of service. Give me that type of worship. Give me that type of love. Give me that type of devotion. And that's what he calls for. And he doesn't settle for less. And we can't be those that give the Lord the leftovers. He's deserving of our best. I think that's what he's asking of us today. In the area of our finances, in the area of our worship, in the area of our ministry, in the area of our families, our time, everything. He wants us to love him supremely where there's nothing in competition. Nothing in competition with our loyalty to him. And again, when your heart's set on that, you see all these other things so clearly because your life is filled with lights. When there's a mixture in the heart, it's hard to make these, about this or that. And you end up making the wrong decisions because there's great darkness there. So it comes under the submission of Christ, and our desire should be to give him the best. But that's what he's asking of our life today.